John Saber joins us. He is the producer of The Roundtable on WJOX 94.5 FM in Birmingham and the Jocks Network. And we greatly appreciate John taking time out of his day to be with us. John, good afternoon.
Hi, Jacob. Thank you for having me.
First place to start, whereas where else but with the conference expansion story sweeping the nation right now. What do you know this hour about the state of the landscape of college football in terms of conference expansion?
Well, right now, what it looks like is offers are on the verge of being extended out to various Big 12 universities. Supposedly, the Big 10 is going to offer to Missouri and Nebraska, and the Pac-10 is also looking at extending out 6 invites to Big 12 schools, Colorado, the 2 in Oklahoma, Texas, Texas A&M, and Texas Tech, making a Big Pac-16. Now, one of the looming questions out there is if the Big Ten schools take the 2 from the Big 12, Missouri and Nebraska, that gives them 13. They have planned on expanding all this time, but now having an uneven number of 13, where do you go from here? Who else do you get? I think the more pressing issue is what happens if all this comes to pass, if all those schools go to the Big Ten and the Pac-10, what happens with Iowa State, Kansas, Kansas State, and Baylor? Those four are going to be left out in the cold. It's unfortunate for Kansas, who has an outstanding basketball program, and if they're just going to be left out in the wind, I mean, if they could end up in the Mountain West, maybe with Utah and Boise State and all of them, but it's not going to be anything like they were in the Big 12.
What do you think the timeline is as far as when decisions will be made on these issues?
Supposedly, I think it's honestly going to come down in the next couple of days if anything is going to happen. The Big 12 gave them an ultimatum for Friday the 11th, saying, you know, we want to know your intentions by then. And reports are saying that the invitations are ready to go out. So if all this is going to happen, I'm sure we'll have everything ready to go, or at least handed out by the beginning of July.
We're located here, of course, in the Deep South and consumed with SEC football. How do you see this affecting the SEC?
Well, the way I see it now, I don't think the SEC, as much as the SEC feels like they need to keep up with the Joneses and everything, I don't think they will expand just yet. And the downside is all of the darlings of the ball, so to say, Notre Dame, Texas, and all that, they're going to be in their new conferences, and so we're going to have slim pickings, if anything, to come in. If the SEC does expand, we'll probably look at Florida State, Clemson, I guess. We could hope for maybe Oklahoma, if they don't go over there, Oklahoma State, perhaps get something from Georgia, like Georgia Tech, but I mean, those aren't going to move the needle like a Texas and a Notre Dame or like an Oklahoma would. So the SEC needs to be proactive, but I don't think they're going to go out there and get anybody. So it could be viewed as it could be viewed as the SEC is weak because they're not going out and getting the major players.
What one team do you think is the key to the expansion domino effect? What team do you think will start the ball rolling and really holds all the cards?
Well, the obvious answer is Texas. I mean, Texas is the one that's being recruited by multiple conferences, 3 in fact, the Pac-10, the Big Ten, and probably less so by the SEC. And I would say another team is Notre Dame, because if they go somewhere, that ends everything. If they go to the Big Ten and make their 12, they're set. The Big 12 doesn't have to move or lose anybody. The Pac-10 is perfectly fine. The SEC is not going to change anything. They're not going to do anything as well. I'm going to say one major player is probably going to be Oklahoma. Like I said, if Texas goes somewhere, obviously that's going to be a major get for whomever gets that, but Oklahoma can still come with the SEC. They can choose to if they want to go to the Big Ten, and that's going to be a major grab for whichever conference gets them.
Okay, switching gears from that subject, that, of course, the number one story right now in college football during the summertime, usually pretty dead, but this year we have a really hot story. Switching gears from that, what do you expect this year, previewing the 2010 SEC football season? What do you look for?
This year I look for most likely a lot of the same of last year and the year before, and if you look at the last 2 years, they've kind of been similar. It's really been Florida and Alabama. The last 2 years, it's been Florida and Alabama and everybody else. It was like that 2 years ago, they met in Atlanta, Florida won. It was like that. Last year, Florida and Alabama met, and this time Alabama won. And this year, everybody's predicting Florida and Alabama to meet. And looking at the lesser races, second, third, and fourth places, it's the same teams. Where is Auburn going to finish? Where is Arkansas going to finish? Actually, Arkansas is shaping up to be last year's Ole Miss, where they could be second place or fifth place. And so right now, just looking briefly at the SEC schedule, Alabama looks as if they can most likely skate their way to Atlanta. I mean, about a third of the way through their schedule, they have a murderer's row of at Arkansas, home for Florida, and at South Carolina in three consecutive weeks. They can get through that. Everything else looks like it's shaping up for them to go to Atlanta again. And with the incumbent Heisman Trophy winner, with most of their offensive and defensive starters back, I mean, how can you not say Alabama is the favorite to win the SEC and probably the national title again?
Yeah, and Alabama fans always think that they can be in the national championship before the year even starts. But how legitimate and realistic of a chance do you think Alabama has to be back in that BCS title game this year, considering, like you said, the rigorous schedule they have to play?
Well, it starts with coaching. And if you look at the guy at the top, Nick Saban, he is an outstanding coach. I mean, he's now won two BCS titles. Very few coaches have won two, and they're still coaching at currently right now. And so he has this program poised to what looks like make an extensive title-filled run. Again, looking at Alabama's schedule, outside of that murderer's row of Arkansas, Florida, and South Carolina three consecutive weeks, the schedule doesn't look all that bad. You've got, again, the Heisman Trophy winning running back and his backfield mate and his running mate Trent Richardson back there, which could be very, very similar to the 0-4 Auburn offense with Ronnie Brown and Cadillac Williams. And if you have a potent 1-2 running back combo with the SEC, you know, they could be very, very close to unstoppable. Now, an interesting note is if you look at the past few times, at least in the BCS era, and a Heisman Trophy winner has come back the following year to play, they haven't bowled all that well. Jason White, who won it in 03, won the Heisman Trophy in 03, came back the following year, and he lost in the title game to USC. The following year, Matt Leinart won his Heisman, came back the next year, and they lost that epic game to Texas. The only guy who's won a Heisman in the BCS era and come back in subsequent years and has had success in the championship game is Tim Tebow. Now, I mean, like, that may shoot holes in theory, but I mean, he's perhaps the greatest quarterback and greatest college football player of all time. So of course he's going to be breaking records like that. But Alabama should be a little cautious if the trends like these keep up. But Alabama, I expect a lot of people around here expect, and most of the Alabama nation expect to see them in Atlanta with maybe one loss, and expect to see them in the championship game come January.
Well, you can listen to the show John produces in Birmingham at 94.5 FM WJOX. You can also listen to it online from anywhere else in the world at jocksfm.com. John has been very generous to give us a few minutes of his time. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Jacob.